What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Thursday morning. Well, we got to wait the extra day this week, obviously, for the Birds game, which isn't until Monday, but we got a Phils game last night. And frankly, we got a Phils team on a roll. I mean, we really do. They really have done. We wondered in the dog days of the summer if they would answer the bell and reclaim the greatness. It appears that they have. So, look, they're really well set up, obviously, headed to the postseason. Zach Wheeler, credit to him last night. Enough runs, not a ton of runs, but enough runs. So we'll talk about it all today. The Phils, the Eagles, as they get ready for the Atlanta Falcons Monday Night Football. You know, big show. If you don't know Jason Kelce, Jason Kelce will join us every single Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 in studio. So, yes, that means...
Way to punctuate it.
Well, I wanted to make sure. You know, sometimes there's... You get a little...
Good job! Exclamation point.
Correct. Stuff like that. Okay.
That's good.
So, Jason Kelce, 7:30 to 8:30 today and every single Thursday on our show. So, good morning, 215-592-9494. Richie Rich, how are you, pal?
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Johnny.
The last Disney movie that was more hand-drawn than computer-animated
Let me take a guess.
I'm gonna say was... Hold on, let me say the stipulations again. Disney movie, hand-drawn,
sure.
More hand-drawn than digitally animated, computer-animated.
I'm gonna go with that Fantasia.
Fantasia? It was like 1940. Like
that's the very first one. That's the very, very first one.
Why not? Digital animation.
I don't know. What do I know? I don't know.
Oh my gosh! There couldn't. What year was that?
I thought it was like
40s,
right?
I swear it was like 56 or something.
I thought it was earlier.
It's before that, man. It's early Mick.
40.
Early Mick. Yeah. All right. What's the answer?
Very early Mick.
Yeah.
1940. I was right.
1940.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was gonna say 41, but
wow. Beauty and the Beast, Joe. Beauty and the Beast.
The one in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, it was 1991. Yeah. You're only 51 years old. Man, it kind of feels like ruined it, though.
Sorry.
Like you torpedoed the whole surprise factor you go back to 1940.
I messed up, apparently. Yeah. Well, you know who didn't mess up? The Phils last night. Zach Wheeler didn't. Nick Castellanos. Let's listen to Castellanos right out of the gate. He puts the Phils on the board in the first, obviously. It's a different lineup. You got Schwarber out. You got Bryson Stott hitting first. But Castellanos is playing good baseball.
In the air to left field. Pretty well hit. Carlson going back out to the wall. He jumps, and it's off the top of the wall, and it's out of the ballpark. It went over the little fence into the flower bed. It's a two-run home run, and the Phillies take the early lead.
That's some vindication right there, isn't it?
Yeah, that had to feel sweet for Castellanos, obviously, after getting drilled the prior night. So, look, great job by him right out of the gate and by the Phils, and primarily last night by Wheeler. The dude's a stud. He is, perhaps the absolute best pitcher in baseball. Phils don't have that often. They had it with Steve Carlton. They had it with Roy Halladay. Probably didn't have it with Schilling because as great as Schilling was, Pedro and Randy Johnson were doing their things. But, and Greg Maddux. But the bottom line is the Phillies have an absolute stud of a pitcher. And in about 3 weeks, really, let's be real. In game one, of the second round, we think, they're going to hand him the ball. And if Zach Wheeler does his job, we can all feel a lot calmer in October. And if he struggles in any way, then all of a sudden all panic will set in. But the guy's a stud. Look, we'll take your calls on the Phils. The rebound from, because I do want to get into how the dog days felt and how we feel now. It's got to be a huge difference. So all that, 215-592-9494. Now let's get Eagles on the table as well. So I want to ask this open-ended question out of the gate here. I'm curious where everyone stands. After week one, which of course was a victory, it was a sloppy, ugly victory, but a victory. I am curious if you feel better or worse about the Eagles compared to, how you felt prior to that game being played. So a day or two or three or four before that game was played, what you thought then, what you felt then, and what you think now, having seen the Birds in action, better, worse, maybe you feel the same. I don't know. Richie, when you view this
camera.
Eagles thing, where are you at? Where are you at with the Eagles, better or worse, after week one?
It was a lot closer between the two, better and worse, than I expected it to be. I ended up, when I listed out, I am more encouraged than I am discouraged. Mm-hmm. I am more positive than I am negative. I ended up with five positive and 4 negative. So it is close.
Yeah, it is.
Positive, number one, encouraged that Saquon was unbelievable.
He was
Saquon was better than advertised, and he is a monster, and he is going to crush it this season. Positive number two, unbelievably encouraged by the O-line play also, and Jeff Stoutland just getting everything right.
And Becton.
Mekhi Becton was outstanding. The O-line, Cam Jurgens was outstanding. They were outstanding as a group.
Yep.
There was a pocket on some occasions that's a joy to see.
On tons of occasions.
But ignored.
Well. Yeah,
and so that part needs to be improved upon. But positive number three, I'm encouraged that the field conditions were terrible and we were still able to score the way we were. We were still able to move the ball the way that we were. You know, there were some things we just clearly could not do, things they could not call.
I will say it might have been a bigger advantage for offense and defense because offense knows where it's going.
It's always a bigger advantage for offense.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And that can cut. But, I mean, look when Gardner Johnson slept.
Yes, but it's still
a positive
that we can function when things aren't exactly as predicted. That was good.
Yep.
You come out of a game like that where you've got the questionable footing with a win. That's good that you've figured out how to address these things and come out the other end looking good. Our defense kept us in the game. That's my fourth positive. Our defense was the reason that we were able to. That game could have gotten out of hand in a hurry because we didn't show up way we needed to. So 6-0 instead of 14-0 allowed us right back into that game with the first time we score. Thankfully, it was a touchdown. So we're up after all of that just unpreparedness. We were still leading a team that really, really was good. So that's a lot of positives. Our defense keeping us in the game. Number five, the positive: we played a poorly executed game against a good opponent, and we won anyway. That's huge. In today's world, in today's NFL, the bads. I'm concerned about our pass rush. I had a bad attitude after watching the lack of production, I guess. But then I go back and I see, man, Bryce Huff was slipping all over. He really had it bad. I don't know. Like, he really couldn't get his feet. And then a point that Jimmy brought up, Elliot Shore Parks reminded people yesterday that we were all up in arms with Hassan Reddick when he first arrived. When he first arrived and he was supposed to be the guy, the sackmeister coming off the edge.
Yeah.
His first two games in an Eagles uniform.
2022.
Yep. Remember the year where we ended up as a defense having 70 sacks, set all sorts of records. Hassan Reddick, game one and game two, had 0 sacks. Hassan Reddick, game one and game two, had 0 pressures. And we were up in arms. What gives?
And
this
was,
is our big money edge guy.
And it turned into a historic year.
And he ended up having 16 sacks the rest of the way during the regular season. That's not including the sacks he had in the postseason.
Right.
So that ended up working out okay.
Well, so look, there's a lot. I get that there's a lot. Give me the next two real
Concerned
quick.
Concerned about the pass rush.
Yep.
Jalen tried too hard to be too perfect, take too big a bite.
Yep.
Bad number three, we need to keep an eye on Jalen's burst. Like, that is possibly a problem. Now, we learned that the spy could be part of the issue. I thought that was interesting with Nick Sirianni. We learned that Jalen could be throttling it down, much like Bryce throttles it down the first baseline if he knows it's an out for sure. If Jalen knows the spy's sitting there, he's not going to leg it out and try to impress people with his burst.
But
don't
you think he used to? You know what I mean? That's where. Maybe that was a mistake when he used to. Maybe it was.
I don't know.
I'll just
know that I feel a lot better about that part.
Yeah.
When we heard that with the spy.
That doesn't make
and
me feel better.
And that was out of the blue when we heard that.
Let me make this simple here. I recognize that
number four, he escaped the pocket too early.
Well, clearly. So I think this is not the easiest question to answer. And again, you can address here at 215-592-9494 after that first game if you feel better or worse about the Eagles compared to how you felt. So it's not, to me, an easy thing to answer because, as John pointed out there, a lot on the good and bad ledger, and some surprising. But I'll tell you why I lean worse. And it's, to me, it's real simple, because my two greatest concerns entering the season were issues in this game. And I mean, these were far and away my two greatest concerns. Jalen Hurts and the pass rush. Just were. And the bottom line is both left a lot to be desired in this game. Now, the irony is Jalen did a lot of great things in this game. Did a lot of great things. But the bad he put out there was also really bad. So, you know, what am I left to do but think, man, when I net it out and I see the quarterback and the pass rush struggle to a large extent, you know, it's hard for me to say, like, you know, yeah, buckle up. This is definitely a 12-win season. I mean, maybe. We'll see. Look, I'm curious where you stand at 215-592-9494. Obviously, Saquon was phenomenal. Obviously, the blitz pickup was well executed. Obviously, Becton was outstanding. N'Kobe Dean was outstanding. Quinyon Mitchell was outstanding. Zach Bond was outstanding. I thought the coaching was really good. So where do you net out after week one, which we all know is a sloppy win? We also know, God forbid, that Packers cornerback catches that ball and runs it down the sideline, you know, with a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter. Totally different conversation.
Or that other one where A.J. Brown had to knock the ball out. Totally different conversation.
Totally. So I try to step back a bit from just like win-loss, and say, what did my eyes tell me? My eyes told me they're a good team. My eyes told me they might be a great team. But my eyes told me my two biggest concerns, the quarterback and the pass rush, were pretty damn big issues in this game. And those are big, 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 hefty topics in the midst of a football season, your quarterback and your pass rush.